If you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 29, and we're not going to jump back into Psalms yet. Brother Dr. Barber will be preaching next Wednesday night, and there'll be a couple more Wednesday nights before we get back to Psalms. And we'll be back in John, though, this Sunday. Look forward to that, and be in John all summer. And then in the fall, on Sunday mornings, we will get back preaching on the theme of continue, and then finish up on AM. Preaching in the book of John. And that'll probably take us another 3, 5, 10 years to get through the book of John on Sunday morning. Again, want to preface as I get into the message tonight that I'm on like 5 or 6 different drugs. And so I felt Sunday morning could definitely feel the effects of it. And so just my head swims a little bit. And so we'll all work through this all right. So I'm not, don't hurt. I'm not, it's just, you can tell. All right. I think some people could tell Sunday morning. I have a couple of feedback. Yeah. I hope the visitors didn't go all. Anyway. See, like right now, I'm above my normal chatty self, which gets on my own nerves. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. This is a passage we have definitely delved into before. Several years back, this has been 2010, and then also in 2014 or 15, the Lord really impressed upon my heart about trusting Him. And even this past couple of years of just, we ought to trust the Lord. I mean, He created all things. He's an all-powerful God. We ought to trust Him. And that God is not the author of fear. And when we do fear, whether we fear circumstances or we fear man, that is not in any way or shape or form indicative of what God wants for your life. And so we should not fear. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare or a trap, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe," or shall be delivered. Deliverance, have deliverance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the time, bless the reading of your word. And again, we pray for strength and courage as we live out this life day to day in the workplace, in our neighborhoods. Lord, may we, and amongst our family, Lord, may we trust you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you have heard some time back in some of my family illustrations, I may have been a little scared of things when I was a kid. I'm not scared of anything now. It's totally gone away, but that's a joke. It's all good. But when I was a kid, I was scared. I really was. I mean, remember when the old television show, The Hulk, came out and Lou Ferrigno would change into the, you know what I'm saying, and I'd hide behind the couch, you know, as he transformed into the Hulk. I can remember one of my birthdays is when the Gremlins first came out, the movie The Gremlins came out, and it was my birthday, and my mom and my dad, mainly my mom, rented the video for Gremlins, and on one of those, remember the old movie discs? You could rent the whole contraption, and you put this big disc in there, and it'd play the movie. And so I can remember, here I am amongst all my friends at my birthday party, and we're watching the Gremlins, and I am just shielding my eyes, not wanting to watch. When those things got wet, that was bad. It's bad. How many of y'all seen the Gremlins before the movie? Oh, not too bad. Several of you. If not, you can look it up. It's a classic. It's kind of like Karate Kid. You've got to go see some of those things. And so I can remember shielding my eyes, and my dad saying a few, not cuss words, but my dad would never cuss. But my dad, telling me, "Hey, don't be afraid. Quit it, you sissy, you pansy," whatever he called me, different various forms. And so, anyway, going out to, we lived out in the country, and the trash barrel was, a little ways away from the house. And he'd tell you to go carry the trash out, and it was dark. I didn't want to go carry the trash out in the dark. So you run out there as fast as you can, throw the bag or throw the trash in there. But out there, you had to light the fire. You had to stay out there a little while. So I just hoped that whatever was going to catch me, I could light it on fire. So as a kid, I was a fraidy cat. And my older brother and my younger sister would make fun of me as well. And that's all good. So just being afraid of things. And I still absolutely do not understand at all, my wife will testify to this, why anybody would watch a scary movie. I had no desire, would never on purpose watch a scary movie. I just don't get it. So I know some of you love them. Go ahead. Why would you Why would you purposely be afraid on purpose? Doesn't make sense. Fear. Fear is a motivator for good and bad. We think about fear being that things that we should do or things that we shouldn't do. Fear sometimes motivates us in both directions. But God is not the author of fear. I think about, again, that trusting in the Lord. Years ago, we did the theme of launching out into the deep. Remember that? And Jesus said to his disciples, launch out into the deep and cast your net on the other side and bring, you know, to fish. And they did. He said nets, remember? And the disciples let down a net and a great draught of fish. But the thing that in that verse, it says that Peter said, we have fished all night and have caught nothing. Yet, or nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. So, no, they fished all night. Peter still trusted the Lord. And in trusting him, he was rewarded for that, and so were the disciples, with a great draught of fish. And those who would trust the Lord, God will bless if we put our trust in him. So here it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That word snare, again, is a trap. And everybody kind of remembers when you're kids, at least us kids out in the country, of trying to catch a rabbit or trying to catch something. You put the little box up on a stick with a string on it, and you wait over in the bushes waiting for the rabbit or something to come out and get the food. And then you trip the little, you know, with the string and try to catch the rabbit or whatever with the box. And it never worked, but it was fun trying. It was just easier to chase the rabbit into a corner of a fence and then just grab it. But anyway, but a snare, a trap, to be afraid of man or have fear of man is a snare or a trap. It's amazing to me how some people will fear man but not fear God. Remember Solomon said, all is vanity except to fear God and obey his commandments. We ought to have a reverential fear of God. And so many fear man, but not God. And that's Christians as well. Fear. Again, fear can be a positive motivator, but only so. And then the example that we've given many times is raising kids. When they're little and when they're small, we motivate children most of the time by fear. As a dad or a mom, we're bigger than they are, we're whatever. And so we use fear to motivate them. The rod of correction to the seat of understanding, right? The board of direction. Everybody with me? We still believe in corporal punishment here in our church because of what the Bible teaches. Amen? And so growing up, I was afraid of my dad. You know, I was afraid. And so motivated to obey because I feared my dad. But fear can only go so far in motivating someone to obey. And so as I got older, there came a time when my dad gave me, applied the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, and it no longer worked. And he looked at me and said, that'll be the last whipping you ever get from me. It just didn't work. He could tell. I was a big boy. I was 15. The last time I got a whipping, I was 15. My future wife was there when it happened. I could tell you what it was about, but it's okay. Me and my younger sister got in a lot of arguments. I was always right. I wish my dad would have understood that. But apparently that was not what my dad thought. And so my dad would use the rod of correction. He would use fear to motivate me to obey. But again, it only works so far. Some of you with really small kids will find that out as your kids grow up. Again, it's not wrong to use fear with them as a kid to teach them and train them. But at some point, love is a greater motivator. Love is a far greater motivator than fear. Again, I want to clarify. With children, fear works and it should be used. Again, not to beat kids, not to those things, but to, again, the Bible, there's several verses. That's not the sermon tonight. But to have that love motivate you is a far greater motivator. I love the Lord. My motivation for being here tonight is because I love the Lord. I'm not afraid of the Lord in that respect. I know some go to churches that say, you know, if you don't do this, this, and this, that, you know, God's going to strike you with lightning or whatever. Can I tell you that God is not Zeus and that God loves you? Now, that he does say, whom the Lord loveth, he'll chasten. But understand, he chastens us like a son or a daughter. He loves us unconditionally. And what we do does not motivate, or what we do does not help him love us more or less. But anyway, so loving the Lord ought to be what motivates us to come into church to obey him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen? It's love that ought to motivate us to teach us class, or to help in master club, or to sing in the choir, or to tell our neighbor about Jesus. It ought to be love that does those things. And sometimes it is, a sense of duty that tells us we ought to do those things. And certainly when that kicks in, that's fine, but that's not what ought to drive us. The love ought to compel us to serve the Lord. Fear, again, can be a motivator, but it's not near the motivator that love can be. So as a child growing up, at some point it has to go from fear to love. I don't do anything my dad tells me to do now because I'm afraid of him. I can whoop my dad. I don't care what any of y'all think. I can take him. Some of y'all have seen my dad. It's 70 years old. He's almost 70. He'll be 70 this month. He's still pretty well built. But I don't know, probably 15 years ago or so, we finally had the match. Him and my brother tried to take me, and it didn't go well for them. And I was a little better shape 15 years ago, too. And so I'm not afraid that my dad can take me or whatever the case is. And so I don't do the things he asked me to do because I'm afraid of him. I do it because I love him. I would do anything for him tonight. I mean, absolutely anything. And I've said this from the pulpit many times. I'm telling you, if somebody came through the side door now and said, hey, your dad needs you, bye, see you guys later. I mean, I just love my dad. I'd do anything for him. Love my brother somewhat, but I would. Love is a greater motivator. Fear has led many men to sin. We think about in the Bible examples of this. We think of King Saul. When Samuel told Saul to go to the Amalekites and to go to war against the Amalekites and to utterly destroy them, utterly destroy men, women, everything, just utterly destroy them, cattle, camels, sheep, I mean, just to utterly destroy them, and he didn't. In fact, we know that Saul disobeyed, and because he feared his soldiers, because he feared his companions that were with him, his fellow soldiers, because they wanted to keep the spoil, they wanted to keep the best stuff, and so Saul disobeyed. In fact, he didn't even kill the king. He was told to kill the king Agag, and he didn't do it. And so when Samuel approaches him, we find that Saul also disobeyed in that he offered a sacrifice, which King Saul was not supposed to do. And because of Saul's fear of man, God took the kingdom away from him. His disobedience, yes, that's why he took it, but the fear is what motivated his disobedience. He was afraid of his soldiers. He was afraid that they would mutiny on him. They were afraid if he didn't allow them to keep the spoil. Remember what he said to Samuel? Samuel said, hey, I hear the sheep in the background. Weren't you supposed to kill everything? And Saul said, no, we kept the best stuff to sacrifice to the Lord. Saul said, and then Samuel said, well, that's not what you were told to do. I'm summarizing. And Saul, because of Saul's fear of man, he sinned. We think of Pilate, as Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. And we see in John 19, verses 8, 13, and 16, Pilate knew what was right. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. But because of Pilate, because of Pontius Pilate's fear of the Jew, because of his fear of man, our Savior was put on the cross. Now, we know that was God's ultimate purpose and God had a reason, but Pilate's motivation was the fear of man. You say, well, how was that? Well, he feared the Jew appealing to Caesar. See, they'd already had a lot of commotion between the Jews and the Romans. And it was like, Pilate, can you not handle the Jews? Can you not handle that group of people? So Pilate didn't want there to be a ruckus. That's the way we say it in Texas. Fear of man led to the slaying of Jesus. We think about good men. So unlike Saul and Pilate, we know they both had shortcomings, but we think about good men like, like Aaron. You think about Aaron there in Exodus chapter 32, where Moses comes down off the mountain and finds the golden calf. And Moses says to Aaron, "What have you done?" And Aaron says, "I don't know. We just gathered up some gold, cast in the fire, and this thing popped out of the fire." And just think about Moses grinding up that calf into powder, making everybody drink it, you know. But a good man, because he feared the people. He said, "What? Here's the God that brought you out of Egypt." He feared the people, sinned. Lastly, we think about Peter. Oh, Peter. Matthew chapter 26, there is Jesus Christ on trial, and there's Peter out, kind of out in the outskirts, huddled around a fire, warming up his hands. And somebody asked Peter, "Aren't you one of the disciples? Aren't you one of his followers?" And Peter cussed. And then he did it three times. He denied Christ three times because he feared man. He feared man. Remember what Peter said just a day or two before? He said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death." And yet because of his fear of man, he sinned. Fear has led many to reject salvation. So fear causes man to sin, would cause us to sin. And then number two, fear leads many to reject salvation. I won't spend a whole lot of time on this point, but I have an example. I won't give names, but it's amazing to me how many people I've witnessed to, and several of those I've witnessed to said, it's a particular group of people, I can't join the Baptist faith. It's kind of how they put it. I can't do that. My family would reject me. My family would cast me out. A lot of this happens to Catholics sometimes who are very steeped, whose families are very steeped in Catholicism. And when they switch religions, can be an outcast to their family. Jews are the same way. When a Jew converts over to Christianity, many times rejected by their families. Fear many times can lead to somebody not accepting Christ as Savior. Fear of their family, or fear of co-workers. We live in a day and age, again, in the last 10, 20 years, where Christianity has now become unpopular. And back in the 80s, when we had a strong coalition, the Christian coalition, and things were just seemed to be headed our way, being a Christian and those things. I can remember in high school, the "What Would Jesus Do?" that slogan became very popular in our public high school. And I would say probably half, though they didn't live it, but half the teenagers in our high school wore the little band, "What Would Jesus Do?" So it was popular to be a Christian. And that's not the case anymore. And many times people will not make the jump. Many people will not do so because they're afraid. Fear of man. I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, "They may laugh you," talking about fear of man, fear of family, fear of coworkers, and it says, "They may laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell." Do not let the fear of man forfeit your soul. I hope tonight you know you're saved. Know you're saved. Fear of man in this day and age causes many pastors and preachers to be timid in the pulpit. I'm thankful for a church that allows their pastor to stand up and preach the Bible. I've mentioned this verse many times. You ought to go underline it in your Bible. But Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says to the Galatian churches, he says to them, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So as a Christian, as we get up and we preach and teach the truth, and that bothers you, that causes you to be my enemy, it's on you, not me. It's on this, not me. I'm just teaching the truth. I'm just preaching the truth. So we live in the day and age, which we know we live in the end times. The Bible makes that clear, that many will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We live in that day. We live in the end times in which many preachers, many pastors, many teachers stand up in pulpits or lecterns or sit on a bar stool. Now, if your health is not where you need, you want to sit on a bar stool, that's fine. But as long as my health would allow me to, I'm going to stand up and preach. The word preach means to trumpet with the voice. It means to lift up the voice, to preach the word of God. And many today are timid because of they're afraid. They're afraid to teach biblical truth because they are afraid of man. There's some prophet that was told not to look at man's faces, but we won't go into that one either. We need to preach the whole truth of the Word of God. Many have softened or modified their teachings and preachings. On the 15th anniversary, do y'all remember the 15th anniversary of the church? Anybody? Sunday morning? I took the sermon that I preached the very first Sunday, the very first one-year anniversary of our church, and I preached the same message with my same notes on the 15th anniversary. Did it on purpose. I just want, is there any change in our message? There shouldn't be. Amen? And the pastor ought to be able to stand up and preach the Word of God just as it is. Just as it is. Think about our society today calls many things a disease. Being a drunk is not a disease. Being an alcoholic is not a disease. It's a sin. You decide to pick the drink up and drink it. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, being a drunk is not a disease. It's a sin. You picked the drink up, you drank it. You made a decision. It's a sin. I love those commercials on the radio, especially. There's one of those help places where they can go and get help. Rightfully so, if you have trouble with alcohol, go get help. But if you're going to go someplace that takes what your sin and tells you that it's a disease to help soothe your conscience, that's the wrong place to go. I want to go somewhere where they get, tell me what it is. You are a drunk. You need to get right with God. You need to turn from your sin. Right? Amen? Good. Glad everybody's on board. Many a Christian has fell to the fear of man. The Bible makes it very clear that we are to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that we ought to be light and salt in this earth. And so many times that we as Christians give in to peer pressure or give in to family. I was thinking where Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, he says, For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some dads are afraid to go home and get their house right. They're afraid of their spouse or they're afraid of their kids. And so their house is not in order. Society, many times we're afraid of ridicule. If I follow Jesus, I'll be called a fanatic or whatever the case is. Or sometimes young people especially get caught up in the peer pressure. And I won't go see rated R movies, right? As a Christian. I won't go see rated R movies as a Christian. Amen? Hello? Amen. Certain things I won't do. I won't go to a bar. Was in a restaurant the other day, and the only place they had open was the bar. And the lady said, well, we had the bar is open. Now, I don't mind sitting in the booth over against, but I'm not going to sit at the bar. I don't care. If I have to wait an hour, I'm not sitting at the bar. As a Christian, I'm not going to sit at the bar. Amen? I want my testimony intact. I'm not going to sit at the bar. I'm not going to go certain places. I'm not going to attend certain concerts. I'm not going to go do certain things. I'm not going to wear certain things. You say, well, it's all about, no, it's about following Jesus. Would Jesus sit at the bar? And I know a lot of churches today, there's certainly a line that's been blurred in Christianity. Y'all love when I get off on the soapbox, right? There has been a line. I want to be kind as I can. Several years ago, there was a little flyer put out by a church here in the Metroplex, on our side of the Metroplex, and their whole advertisement was God on Tap. It's a picture of a keg, and that was the sermon series for the pastor, God on Tap. It was a picture of a keg, a beer, you know what I'm talking about? It grates me. One of the sermon series by a pastor here out towards the airport, where him and his wife actually camped out on top of the church roof, and their series was named after a very, very vulgar movie that had come out. 50, right? He named a series after a vulgar movie. I guess now it's okay to name your sermon series and put a cuss word in it because we have a church here locally that's doing it. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's unbelievable. Everybody good? I'm on drugs. It's all good. It's in my sermon, all right? I'm just preaching my notes. Just thought I'd give you a couple examples. You don't, a pastor shouldn't take a sermon series, and I don't care if it's the H word or not. H word's still a cuss word. Certainly shouldn't have that. But the fear of man, so much pressure today for Christians to conform to the world. And so we as Christians have to continue to be light and in a dark world. We have to continue to be salt in this earth. And it certainly doesn't mean we have to be a monk somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. We're to be of the world, right? We're not to be of the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. But at the same time, we as Christians ought to stand for some things. I still believe that we as Christians ought to live separated lives. Come out from the world, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Love not the world, neither things in the world. Any man love the world, the love of Father is not in him. All those passages are very clear. I don't think a woman has to dress from here to her toes. I don't think we live in the, 1800s anymore. And we're not called to be separated from the world of 50 years ago. I get that a lot too, because these guys to the far right have some weird standards. I'm called to be separated from the world of today. Amen. That's good. So many times fear motivates us. Fear is what causes us not to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. And may we never allow fear to do that. May we live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just about the don'ts. It is also about what we do. That we obey Him and because we love Him. So, fear keeps many from serving Him. Fear many times keeps people from preaching, becoming a pastor, or going into full-time ministry. Fear many times will keep you too timid to tell somebody about Jesus and give somebody a track. And can I just remind you, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? That the Holy Spirit is there to empower you and to strengthen you to tell others of Jesus Christ, to live that life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Unlike the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit came upon certain people and they had no power to live the commandments of God, you have the power to live a holy life. Holy Spirit now abides in you as a Christian if you're saved tonight. We need to be, again, lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, fear is a snare or a trap. But there is deliverance found. Trust in the Lord and you shall be safe, it says. Safety is found in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether that's for salvation or for Christian living, may we trust Him. It's in trusting Him that we have the cure for the coward. We trust Him in every area of our life. We are made strong by trusting Him. We're given strength and courage by trusting Him. And trust gives us safety, not just from fear, but also its consequences. Right? It's the fear of the consequences. And I'm thankful if we put our trust in the Lord, He overcomes both of those, gives us safety from both. Spurgeon said this, "We as Christians need never fear anybody. If we do not, I can't even read my own writing. If we do right," he says, "if we do right, you have no cause to fear the greatest man who is serving the devil." Let me say that again. It's a good one. We as Christians need never fear anybody. If we do right, you have no cause to fear the greatest man who is serving the devil. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, non-Christian, you have no reason to fear if you're trusting the Lord. Trust loosens the soul from fear. One of the greatest examples in the Bible is David and Goliath. I can't imagine going against a 10-foot giant as a 16, 17-year-old boy. But he said, "I don't come to you with a sword. I come to you in the name of God." And he defeated Goliath. May we not fear what man can do. May we put our trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord gives us power. By the way, it's prayer that is the muscle that moves the arm of God. It's prayer that gives us that strength and courage. We need to pray. pray, to obey God rather than man. All of us have been guilty of fear, right? And tonight, I don't know if there's someone here tonight who's maybe lapsed into that. Maybe you have fell into fear. God is not the author of fear. And whether that's again, as we said Sunday, whether that's a financial issue, whether it's a health issue, whether it's for a relational issue, whatever it is, we shouldn't fear. Maybe it is a timid spirit when it comes to telling others of Jesus. Whatever it may be, may we not give in to fear, but when we trust in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. Lord, we thank you tonight again for your love for us, and Lord, for your strength and courage we find through your Holy Spirit. And may we trust you. May we put our trust in you in every situation in our life. May we take courage to stand in this day and age, as individuals and as a church, to stand for right, though men may oppose us. Lord, we thank you again for the power and strength and courage that comes only from you. In Jesus' name, amen.